Iran has reportedly sent its response to the latest US ceasefire proposal via Pakistani mediators and wants negotiations to focus on permanently ending the war. That's according to Iran's state-run media. It comes after US Secretary of State Marco Rubio and White House envoy Steve Witkoff met with Qatar's Prime Minister in Miami on the weekend as part of efforts to reach an agreement. Meanwhile, Israeli strikes on Lebanon over the weekend have killed at least 39 people, according to the country's health ministry. Jennifer Gavito is a former Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for Iraq and Iran and joined me earlier. Jennifer Gavito, welcome to Radio National Breakfast.
Thanks for having me.
What do we know about this response? Iran has reportedly sent its response to the latest US ceasefire proposal.
So the Iranians themselves are saying that it was a constructive response, presumably inching closer to some sort of off-ramp or middle ground. However, I think what has been most interesting, despite in not having much detail yet on it, is the response that we saw from President Trump himself over the last couple of hours, which indicates that maybe the United States is not entirely pleased with what they've seen.
In what way? What do you mean?
I suspect that the Iranians are holding firm to some of their red lines. The president, you know, had a fairly belligerent response. And so I think that probably the U.S. administration was expecting Iran to be more flexible in some of its positions. It continues to be a problem that I think the Trump administration believes that it is negotiating with an adversary that has been defeated. And I don't think that the Iranians see themselves that way.
Has the United States the Trump administration underestimated the effect of the asymmetry of this conflict?
Certainly, I think the resilience of the Iranian response has, in fact, surprised the Trump administration. Their asymmetric objectives or capabilities have been well known for some time. It's actually, in a lot of ways, their conventional capabilities and their ability to continue, for example, to fire missiles that has, I think, put this administration on their back heels, and that the Trump administration had declared early on that most of the missile stockpiles had been depleted. And yet we've seen this week continued aggression against the UAE in particular, suggesting that that isn't entirely true.
Is Iran in a hurry to reach some sort of agreement, or how much longer can it withstand the current situation militarily and economically?
I think that Iran is showing that it's fairly resilient in this. One advantage that it has, as it were, is that it doesn't necessarily prioritize the well-being of its people. So while the economic blockade is no doubt having a significant impact, I don't think that that's a primary concern of the Iranian regime itself. And so I think that the regime can hold out still, you know, for a considerable amount of time, and increasingly seems to believe that it has time on its side, assessing that the Trump administration is far more eager to get to a deal, given the ongoing disruptions to global shipping and the continuing rise of energy prices. And so Iran will, I think, draw this out as long as it can, expecting that the Trump administration will become more and more eager to strike a deal, and thus may end up being more flexible in some of its positions the longer this continues.
The US military said it had fired on two Iranian-flagged oil tankers as they tried to reach an Iranian port. How will these ongoing attacks affect negotiations?
I tend to think that they are two different channels. We continue to see these skirmishes in the Strait of Hormuz related to both the blockade from the US side and the disruption of the strait itself from the Iranian side. But neither party is declaring that the ceasefire is therefore over. And I think that that is a very good sign that negotiations continue and that there does seem to be interest from both parties in striking some sort of deal. Again, you know, how quickly that comes, I think, is still up for debate. But it doesn't seem that these ongoing, like I said, skirmishes are going to completely lead to a breakdown, at least at this point.
You're listening to Radio National Breakfast and hearing from Jennifer Gavito, former Deputy Assistant Secretary for State for Iraq and Iran. Jennifer, with these talks going on, Israel has launched multiple strikes on southern Lebanon in the past few days, killing at least 39 people on Saturday alone. That's according to the country's health ministry. Do you get the sense that Israel is stepping up its attacks as the prospect of an end to the broader war gets closer?
Yes, that's certainly not an unusual tactic from the Israeli side to increase the aggression going into a potential deal. And so I'm not surprised to see that. It does concern me, however, that this is really a historic opportunity for the Israeli government to come to some sort of long-term agreement with a Lebanese government that is willing to try to rein in Hezbollah really for the first time in decades. And so I do worry that it would be very easy for that conflict to spin out of control and to squander the opportunity.
On a separate front, President Trump will travel to China later this week for a long-awaited summit with President Xi Jinping. Do you think that Donald Trump will be pushing hard to get a deal in the Middle East before then?
I do. I think that all else being equal, the president would much prefer to travel to China with a deal already in hand. I don't know that that's realistic at this point. We've already seen one cancellation of this summit because the conflict was ongoing. At the same time, though, the Chinese are trying to position themselves as, a potential intermediary or guarantor of some agreement. And so I do think that if the conflict hasn't been resolved yet, that that will be a significant source of discussion. For the Chinese, they too have an interest in seeing this wrapped up. They get much of their energy from Iran. So, yes, I expect that will be a topic of discussion. And President Trump is likely to put pressure on China.
What do you think this war has done in terms of the United States' military reputation?
I think our military has performed spectacularly well. By all accounts, every metric that one could use to define military success has been achieved. I don't think that translates necessarily to strategic success, but if you're talking about the military, then I think, it's performed very well. The big question mark or concern is what that means for U.S. stockpiles, however, with reports that those have been significantly depleted as a result of the conflict.
Weaponry and missiles and so
exactly.
on.
Exactly. Weaponry, defensive weapons in particular, and the types of things that we typically sell to partners and allies. And so not only is that a problem for the United States, but a problem for those who are waiting on deliveries of those weapons systems.
Do you get a sense of the strategic focus of the United States right now? Obviously, there's a lot of focus on the Middle East. There's been a degree of pushback and disengagement with Europe. Where does that leave regions like the Asia Pacific?
Yes, I think it's been hard to identify an overarching strategy other than to say that the Trump administration is demonstrating, again, a preference for what I would call transactional diplomacy. And that is, dealing with each country, with each relationship, and with each issue in terms of what the United States can gain from it. And so that is challenging for partners and allies who rely on the United States for kind of long-term strategic reasons to see the U.S. making decisions that are not necessarily in the interest of those relationships. For the Asia Pacific, that has been a significant focus of the Trump administration, and certainly this upcoming summit in China is something that has been long awaited. But I think all of these relationships are being put on the back burner in favor of a conflict that has gone on with Iran much longer than certainly this administration had planned.
Jennifer Gavito, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.